Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Folks, if you'd like a copy of my best-selling first book, Tales of a First Round Nothing, head on over to ecwpress.com. If you'd like a copy of my second book, Tales with TR, Fights, Film, and Folklore, head on over to www.flankerpress.com. If you'd like either copy personalized, just add a note. Thanks for listening to my podcast, and happy reading.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Ladies and gents, boys and girls, let's jump right into it. Today's guest is former Hobema Hawk, Tri-City American, Brandon Wheatking, Saskatoon Blade, Hershey Bear, Kansas City Blade, Cape Breton Oiler, Hamilton Bulldog, Cincinnati Mighty Duck, St. John's Leaf, Houston Arrow, Belfast Giant, Helsinki Jokerit, Linz EHC, member of the national team here in Canada, and of course, ex-Edmonton Oiler, Terrance Sandwith. What's up, my man?
Not much, buddy. That sounds like a long, long career. I guess it's kind of felt that way, too.
Sometimes. You know, I've had you on a few times, and I haven't ever gotten into each and every team. I know that's a long career, which some people would say suitcase. Other people would say a distinguished professional travel journey. Hockey journey. Yes,
I did learn a lot. You know, travel all over the places.
Speaking of that, what was Houston like? We never talk about that. Houston is a major, major city that can be a lot of fun. It's unique. I've only been there one time, and it wasn't for hockey. How was your experience there?
Well, it was short. That's for one. I got sent down there probably January, February, just at the kind of the end of the year from St. John's. Oh, no, from Hamilton. No, the story was I was in Hamilton, mm-hmm. and we were going to St. John's, and we ended up, because of bad weather, in like Gander, I think. We got like diverted. And we're sitting there in the airport, and obviously coach is on, what's his name? He was a coach for the Bruins for a long time. Claude Julien.
He's coaching here.
He was coaching Hamilton. Okay. And it was first year. He did not like me. We did not get along very well.
Really?
But Mark Lamb was working for the Oilers, and he happened to be traveling with us. So he was like a scout, or I can't remember the role. Anyway, I knew Mark Lamb from just being in Edmonton, growing up in Edmonton. So he came over to me, and I was like, got the news, right? Claude couldn't wait to get rid of me. So I got this offer to go. And Mark Lamb, who had played in Houston for years, right? He'd been there. He came up and said, oh, yeah, you're really going to like this place. So I'm sitting in Gander Airport. I'm kind of getting my head around things. And then by the time we get on the plane, I'm like, yeah, this is going to be good. I'm excited. You don't get
to I guess warm. Houston, it's a few months Houston, man, really, if you think about it.
It was good. We went down. I was married at the time. Sugar Land, Texas is where we all stayed. It was kind of like Melrose Place. We've seen this whole complex and all the players stayed. There was a lot of weird stuff that happened, like, you know, a little swinging action and
wow,
just stuff. I mean, oh yeah, guys sleeping with other guys' wives. It was kind of a little bit of a, a little bit of drama. Yeah.
Wow. And you were in and out. So you never really, it's weird. When you got there, you must've been like, okay, so this shit's been going on. Like I'm immersed. Yeah. And one thing, there's a team and then there's a whole off ice circus that's happening and you just got to come in and dabble your foot and then leave again. It's wild. Yeah, how that
got on unscathed for sure.
It's just weird how every other, and you know, you're a professional person with a job, just so happens that it's playing hockey, but you know, it's a weird industry like that.
It just is. Like, well, every team had its own little kind of culture dynamic going on with the,
yeah,
the wives and the girlfriends and the guys.
Depends what group you get together, right? People often said to me, like, you know, what's it like for to do this or what? I'm like, you can't really paint it. Okay, great. I'm coming off the elevator in Chicago. Who do I run into? Jimmy Waite, right? Oh, now, Jimmy God. Waite was a lot different than Sean Thornton, was a lot different than Craig Sharon, was a lot different than Tyler Harlton. And I'm like, you know, there's so much going on. There's always like 20-ish guys in a room that, well, you know, so they're all different. There are hockey rules and hockey things that we go by, a blueprint, but everybody's fucking different.
Culture. Yeah. Well, so it's unreal that we're talking about this because I'm having some drinks with some guys.
Yeah.
And there's one guy that I play hockey with on Wednesday nights. He goes, do you, like, he's talking to another guy about his son, his 9-10-year-old son going to this team next year, and Silaps is the coach. So, you know Sil? He goes, yeah, I know Sil really well.
Played
college with him. So this guy knew him from way back. Is what we played with. And speak of a guy that was way different than anybody else, but an unreal guy. Well, what did the guys think of him? I said, boys loved him. He didn't drink.
Remember, he told me that he was never, he said, I'm not saying that I'll never drink. He just said, I'm not going to do it. I just made a promise with myself until my last professional game is already has been played. And you've seen him since. So he did have a few beers after, did he?
He has beers now. I mean, you know, he's not a party animal. He never was, but he was, he has a few.
That was great, though. We loved him. Yeah, there's an example. Yeah. Even in that chaos, people are like, well, you had to drink. No, you didn't. So it was great. No. I remember hanging out with him a lot and trying to sit next to him on the bus because we would always ponder things outside of the hockey world.
Yeah, for sure.
Imagine with that name. Sil Apps. The third in the Toronto. Third. Tell me he wasn't feeling a bit of pressure.
Oh God, yeah, I felt for him back then, but you know what? He's doing really well. He's works for a big company. He's kind of one of the head honchos there, and yeah, he's doing real well. So I haven't talked to him in a while, but great guy.
I'm going to ask you an obvious question. Okay, so if you get this answer right, hypothetically, you're going to get $3.6 billion and the ability to eat anything the rest of your life with no consequences. So you want to get this right. $3.6 billion and, again, the ability to eat anything forever. How many goals will Zach Hyman get next season?
Oh, good question.
Like, is this – it's funny because 2 years ago when I was on with Rashog and Strudwick – I predicted he was going to get 40, and no one went with it. They're like, maybe 30. I said, maybe 50 someday. It's the only huge fucking Nostradamus-like futuristic call I made. But I was kind of even like, I did think he was going to get 40. I was getting their goat a little bit with the 50, but it really happened. I'm not blown away, but it was kind of tongue-in-cheek when I said it. So that's, someone asked me again the other day, and I said, I don't know, man. What's the over-under, 45?
Yeah, I was going to 45 popped in my head. I think that, you know, not that he couldn't get 50 again next year. He's playing with Connor McDavid and the way he plays.
But if he gets 30, is it a disappointment?
No, I think, I mean, for me, I mean, I think, I know. I get a feeling that people understand this is a unique situation. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like it's Ovechkin or somebody like hyper talented. It's like, oh my God, I can't believe you only got 50 once, right? Like, this is a guy that's just, maybe what an incredible story. I mean, I know he's in the news talking about, he's got a rich family and all this kind of stuff. And it's like, man, I find it more impressive that this guy works like he does every single day. And did obviously his whole upbringing with a rich daddy who did give him everything, who did give him an opportunity. It's, you know, that's not a lie. But man, to come out against him. ass off every freaking day like he did, I think is way more impressive coming from a rich family. Like, you know, like, we've seen that how many times, or mostly like people that have a lot of things, they don't work for anything, right? Like, they don't try as hard.
Brad Lukowich made a good point to me, because I said, like, God, I go, like, it's funny that something had happened. This was maybe 2 years ago when I had him on. I think it was Matthew Tkachuk with his first game back in Calgary, and he scored a goal, and he, like, dangled by the bench with, like, really rubbing it in. And I said, like, how does that not bother you, though? I go, like, I don't care if it's the year 2200, and you've taken fighting out, and you've done – if a guy does that by the bench, if there's no – I would chop him over the head. Like, for me, I'm going to do something, because it riles me. Like, I'm playing street hockey growing up, and it's pride. And that's when he said it. He goes, yeah, but less and less people are growing up like we did. Like – They're growing up with the money already, with the, and again, it's just a different, it's not their fault, but that's why when you said it, like, Hyman is one of those players, and he works like someone from Rosedale Place down the road, right? Which you're right. I think there's something to be said about that, and it is impressive. And at the end of the day, he's a hockey player that's to be, I think, really looked up to by a lot of kids, whether he's rich, poor, or whatever. He's just a great hockey player and that works hard.
Well, he's a great man. I mean, the way he carries himself, you know, I mean, I hear stories about him all the time in Edmonton.
Yeah.
About helping people and, you know, just getting out of his car and signing autographs. And, you know, it's just, he's a good story.
You approve of him as a member of the alumni?
I'm really going to be looking forward to playing some of the alumni ice. Yes. It's going to be good.
You're looking forward to alumni games with him in a few years.
Exactly.
Okay, Sam, man, another obvious question. You got to pick one of these things. You can only see black and white for the rest of your life. You lose your sense of smell, or you always have a canker sore. You have to pick one of those things to live with.
Black and white. What's can't smell.
You got to pick one.
Black and white, I think I'm going to go with that one.
I think I would, too. I thought about it. Yeah. No one wants a canker sore, because it's just going to make everything else worse. Yeah. It's only a little tiny tick of a problem, but I would really do that. I would give up. I would, instead of that, lose your sense of smell, I think, means that you lose some of your sense of taste, right? You would have...
I would say, I mean, I don't know, like... That was a close one.
When you're eating with your, when you got a real, you're stuffed up, you get a stuffy nose, but you're starving. You can't taste the food as good.
Well, you know, you might have to ask the committee on that, clarify that question a little bit more. Because you didn't say lose your taste as well. I mean, that'd be a no brainer.
What's more impressive here? Okay. If McDavid and maybe Kucherov get 100 assists, Austin Matthews, although I don't think he's going to do it, but in this hypothetical world, he was on pace. He nearly got 70. So let's just say he did. Or Nathan MacKinnon with a point in every single home game this year. Let's just say that he gets one the rest of the year. So what would be more impressive? 100 assists? The reason I say 100 assists, two guys are going to probably do it this year, but it's only been done. Do you know how many other players have done it?
Three other players.
Three.
Right?
And Gretzky 11 times. As much as his stats, I'm aware of all of them. And a lot of them, like, even though they blow me away, you get a bit numb to them. They're so crazy. There's another one. Are you kidding me? Three players, two of them have done it once, and one of them has done it 11 times. Jesus. I don't care if there was pylons in the net. No one else did it. Like, crazy.
Well, for me, the crazy part was Lemieux, like the fact that Lemieux didn't do it more than was it once. He only did it once. Yeah. So it's like, wow.
Lemieux did it once and then twice had 98. It's like Gretzky had 200 points. He did it four times. No one else did it. Lemieux, 199, and he missed five games. There's always that, right?
Yeah.
Let me see him play 82 games healthy, all of them. Yeah. Right, even there, he missed what it was six or seven. He would have at least gotten 210. Right, you would have been. Now, I'm not saying he's any better. I love watching both of them, but you know, it was never a question. And I fucking love McDavid. But people ask me, I'm like, but it's still up in the air. It's a flip of a coin now. One of those guys is going to win it. It was never ever a flip of a coin ever. I don't care who was in the league. It was no flip of any coin, maybe between Gretzky and Lemieux, nobody else.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, no. But I mean, that's just what it shocks me that, like, I would have said, okay, 4 or 5
yeah,
for Lemieux.
Me too. For,
like, you know, that's what you'd think, but it's just crazy how Gretzky just, his stats are just off the charts.
They're off the charts, man. He finished like 80 points ahead of people. Something. He was gone. He was gone 3 games in. 3 games into the season, the scoring race was over. Like, fuck. Exactly. Crazy. And everybody knew it.
To answer your question, I really think McKinnon scoring a point every home game is kind of incredible.
It's funny because that's the most meaningless, but to me it's the most impressive. Just, are you kidding me? Every game, like, if you're in football and you get a fucking touchdown every game, it's big, and there's 17 games in the season. You're talking 41, even though it's just home games, that's 41 games, right? He's at 38 now, like, whatever it is.
I mean, I just think about it like, hey, one game you don't get any points for McDavid, he can have 5 the next. I mean, you know, there's another chance.
There's another chance.
Just one off. He doesn't get a point. Doesn't get a
beast. Your team can't get shut out.
Yeah. It's crazy.
The team can't even – and the games that you get one goal, you're in on every – all of them.
Yeah.
God, when you watch him too, man, doesn't he look like crazy powerful out there?
Yeah. Oh, he just attacks – like, he just grabs a puck and it's like he's going to eat it up. It's just the intensity that he grabs. The intensity is just incredible.
Like, when I looked, I'll tell you all about it off the air, but we had a great trip to Chicago and quite amazing. Connor Bedard came out. We were sitting there in the waiting room before the game and he came out with his jersey and everything and sat down like 5 minutes before the game. Like, I was just like, I didn't know what to say because you're trying to like break the. Do you have a conversation with the biggest prospect in all of sports right now, like in the planet? And he's just out shooting the shit. He came out and we were like, yeah, so do you like Chicago? Like, didn't really know where to go with it. Anyway, you know, like, where do you go with it? You can't really go, hey, want to hear a joke? Like, I had to go in then, Sandman, and read the lineup. And
you did? Oh,
well, the boys were there because we went out the night before. When I say went out, Nick Foligno, he's from Sudbury, so he kind of threw it out there. We went to this wicked restaurant called Trivoli. I love Chicago for the food and the music. Now, he just came out for the meal and went back, and then we went out after that. But Scotty Darling came out. So we didn't really know. I thought we were just dropping the puck, and then we were gone, but that wasn't the case. We were going to the rink. We were going to meet the players. And then someone was going to read the lineup, and I didn't know. And I looked around at the guys. I knew Kiso didn't want to do it. That's not his thing. Dolo and Andrew were like, maybe. And then they were like, but I think you should. You know, you don't get nervous about it. I'm like, no, I kind of am, though, to go in an NHL dressing room with people I don't know. You know, I'm going to jack up this. It's one thing for a fucking a peewee team, Sandman, right? Yeah. It's another thing for a bunch of guys that play pro that I know. It would have been easier for me to do that for the Growlers if I didn't even play the game, right? Because I know half of them. Sure. But, like, this was like, just go in, you know? Like, make me laugh, asshole. Like, I don't know. And you know, what level is comedy? And then what level is pump-up? And can I really pump them up? Do they really want to hear this like a bunch of Adam kids? Or is it just like, what's this guy doing?
Well, and knowing you well, if you would have had some time to put, like, a poem together, like, you would have... You would have been all fine, right? You would have been good. But
you're right. And not only that, I told them, I said, like, as soon as you know the lineup, bring it to me because I can at least put names in. Like, you know, and I did. I just had to go last. They passed it to me and go, hey, here, do it. So I looked down and so I went with, like, you know, I said, okay, ladies and gentlemen, here we are. Welcome to beautiful Chicago, Illinois for tonight's game between, like, you know, Calgary Flames and your Chicago. And their boys are now they're into it. I'm going, okay.
Yeah.
And before I said, boys, so I went over and read it next to Bedard. I said, boys, I'm going to come read it over here. I feel much more comfortable about around fellow first rounders. I was like, I got one line to break the ice. I don't really know what to do here. Either I'm going to look like the cockiest asshole. As soon as they look at Hockey DB, they're going to realize I'm joking. So, but anyway, you know, because half of them, I'm joking. Like, you know, I'm kidding. But how does McKenzie fucking Entwistle know? It just came out of Guelph last year. You know, like, it's like, dude.
Oh, I think you're more well known in those circles than you think.
Well, maybe. But so, anyway, I did that, but I only had that second. So it was like, yeah, I remember getting to, it was the last, Jesus, Peter the Wall Mrazek, Sexy Seth Jones, like that. Like, I had no time to come up with it. I was like just using alliteration for each player. And I got to Connor Boom Boom Bedard. And I think he liked that. And I ended it with Connor Boom Boom Bedard. And ladies and gentlemen, here they are. Yo! Right. I was shaking. Yeah. I got out, and then I just left the room. So you couldn't even really see. It sounded like they liked it, but it was
I need to see a video of that one.
They had me mic'd up, but if there was a camera, I didn't see it. I didn't see anybody's face. I nearly blacked out with nervousness, but I don't think it looked like that. And I don't get nervous like that much, but you know, it was similar to when I got up on stage when you came to my first stand-up. Right? You said I didn't look nervous, but I was really, really, really nervous. Right?
Oh, for sure. I get it. You're jacked up. It's like, actually, it's kind of like what you'd feel playing a hockey game. Like you're
right.
Your energy is almost just like the intensity. I can see that for sure.
By the way, speaking of that, do you remember like in your first game, were you nervous? I was so nervous. It just kind of overwhelmed me and I became like numb to it, but I remember it all. But like, were you really nervous? Do you remember?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I was in Edmonton, hometown, friends in the stands, family in the stands.
Like, you know, getting a hard pass halfway, like first shift, getting a rocket pass going, hopefully it doesn't blow off my stick. You know, like,
oh my God. Yeah. I just remember feeling it felt surreal. It was like, you go through that oil, the old Rexall place or Northlands, you go through the old Derek, they had dropped your old Derek down. Like all of a sudden, I just knew it, like, you know, you're floating around the ice. You don't think it's real.
I tell you something that I don't explain much, but I know was part of the equation. Every experience I'd had watching an NHL game, not every, but most, there was commentating. So like, as I was out there, I'm like, okay, like, Bob Cole's talking like this is happening. I wasn't like consciously, but there was a second layer of consciousness that was all happening. Like, you know, I'm out here and I'm part of this and it's broadcast in all these homes and I'm on Hockey Night in Canada or whatever it is right now. And I got this puck and I could just I could fall down on my face right now. Like, I'm a weirdo and I'm just going to go with it. And each play that you made, you're like, wow, I'm part of this wheel that's turning and I'm just a cog in it. And I'm in the game, right? It was this weird kind of two-dimensional, four-dimensional thing I had going on.
That's a really cool way to look at it. Yeah, that's good imagery.
There's a lot happening, obviously, but...
We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code THPN. New customers can bet $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gambling resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024, all rights reserved.
Now, did I tell you this? No, obviously I didn't. Where do you sit on this? So, by the way, I travel so much now. So on the way to Chicago, Jared Kiso, I think, not the Blackhawks, whatever it was, I believe he got our tickets down there. I was traveling first class and I had access to the lounge. Okay. Now I was just like, and that's not normally the case. It's people just fly me down and I go, look, whatever's easiest for you guys. Don't waste an extra $500. There's no need. You know, I'm doing a charity event. I'm going to charge you this much. You're paying me, but you don't have to go out of your way to get me an extra $500 ticket to Toronto. But do I like it? Yes, I love it. I just don't fly it much. Anyway, this time I'm loving life. And I asked the girl and I showed her like my ticket, my air points. And she's like, good God. She goes, you qualify for this. She goes, all you got to do is go up and get a credit card and you either need to make X amount of dollars or fly this much. And she goes like, you're flying triple as the amount. So I'm loving this now. I go up and I pay like a $500 fee. I get a new car. So I'm going to go that route. But as far as the first class goes, I'm loving it. I'm up there. Now, first of all, guy comes in, he sits next to me, okay? Now, I take off. I got my cowboy boots on. A lot of pressure. So I take off my boots, but I still got my socks on. And I'm aware of the fact that might be ignorant. So I always have this thin pair of big socks that I put on over in case you know what I mean? Like, so if it's smell or something, I mean, I don't think it is. I don't know. It's winter and I got warm socks on, but just in case, because if the etiquette is wrong and you just think it's ignorant, then that's one thing. But if I'm really bothering you because of some center, so I'm always make sure of it. But anyway, I do that and I nod off and go to sleep. But as I'm tired, we've partied down in Chicago. So I look, and this guy, oh, just 1 second, let the cat in. As I'm kind of put my seat back, I'm looking down. This guy next to me takes off his shoes, but he takes off his socks as well. He's like massaging his feet. And I'm going, now, I don't really care, but I'm going, that's like what I did is less ignorant than what he did, I'm thinking, even though we both took off our shoes. So that's A. Now, where do you stand on that, first of all? Is he, because people, I said it to my buddy, and he's like, well, people get on the plane with no shoes on in the summer with sandals. Yes, they do, but their feet haven't really been sweating. It's a big, earthy guy. What do you think? Am I wrong?
I would be, if I was sitting next to you, I didn't know where that story went. If I was sitting next to you, I would be really upset, especially the cowboy boots. Like the whole production, I'd be going like, oh my God, this guy's really not, you know, when you kick off your shoes with the heels and like, you kind of like whatever, like you're not really, but if you actually the whole production of taking your cowboy boots off in front of me, I would have been very unhappy.
So do you think you taking my boots off but having socks on is as bad and if you as him taking off his socks as well?
Oh, no, that's another league. You like to take your socks off.
So neither is great, but the socks off. So
you guys were perfect for each other.
Okay. Like,
you guys.
Oh, well, wait. Because it goes further. So I go back and I forget that in first class you get served a meal. Okay. And I'm just thinking I'm going to put my head back. I got a water in front of me so I can skip the drink service. And at any point, just like normal when I'm in the back part, I'll just wake up and if I'm hungry, I'll order a wrap or something like that. I forget there's a dinner service. But then like when I wake up halfway through, I realized that because of that, I didn't get my meal. So he's eating my meal. My meal got put in front of me because I had my tray out. I was watching my YouTube downloaded videos. But so where's that go? And when I woke up and said it, he said, well, you were out cold. So I figured I'd eat yours. Now, again, is that a bit over the top or am I wrong?
That did not happen.
That happened. He was halfway through it, man. I had my truffle. Stuff was still in, but he had, and I might have mentioned, and I did, I ate in the Air Canada lounge. I might have mentioned that when we sat down, right? Because I unbuckled my buckle, okay? But I was still definitely would have had a piece of chicken, right? There's only...
Oh, my God. There is so much bad etiquette happening.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, there's so much. So listen.
Absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. So this all happens, okay? Now, I go up after this meal. I go up to use the bathroom. And right before I do, he puts his hand on the inside of my thigh. Okay, now, yeah, he honestly said, he says, like, don't worry about it, or whatever it was. Like, I can't remember. I said, excuse me or something. He's like, don't worry. And he like put it like, and now I'm like, is he hitting on me? And is he, because he thinks that I unbuckled my belt was some kind of a sign, was taking off my shoes a sign of intimacy to him? I don't know. But, and I'm going, do I give off a gay vibe? Again, I had to say this qualified each time nowadays. I'm just not gay. My uncle's gay. I got gay friends. I'm not gay. So like, and I'm thinking, even if I'm a girl and he's a guy and he's not gay, that's still a bit over the top. I mean, I wouldn't grab someone's thigh on a plane. I would expect to be punched in the face. There might even be an article in the paper the next day. So I'll just let that go. Okay. I come back down. I'm like, okay. So this time my fucking belt is done up. I put my shoes on. I'm just waiting for this plane to land. I got to sit next to this guy. And anyway, right at the end, when I'm trying to wiggle off, like, just get me my shit and get out of here, he shakes my hand, and in his hand is a piece of paper that says Eric and his phone number.
No.
Yeah, that all happened from Chicago to Montreal. Isn't that weird?
That is the weirdest story I've ever heard, I think.
Yeah.
There's so much wrong with that. Like, it's so like... So, like, to your point, now you're like, okay, is taking your shoes off a sign or something?
Is it a sign of intimacy? You know what I mean?
You know, undoing your belt buckle. I mean, you know, you're asking for it. Then.
I know, but I didn't even think he saw it. Right? I didn't think he saw it. I undid my belt buckle and the top rung of my jeans. Yeah, just to feel a little bit better in the seat, just all that travel and everything else. Just, I was loving it too. I was loving my first class. And then I look over and he's got his socks off, rolled up, rubbing his feet. You got to think there's a level of, this was a big guy too. He's way bigger than me. Beard, just gave off sweaty foot vibes.
Yeah, he wasn't giving off a gay vibe. Like, he wasn't
not
dressed nicely.
There was no sweaty. No, if I had to guess, I would guess he had sweaty feet from the look at him. But I didn't think he was going to hit on me or anything. Like, the only thing that was expected looking at him was eating my meal. Other than that,
yeah, that's incredible. Like that. That is just. I was thinking you were getting punked. Like, I thought, like, this guy was deliberate. Like, he was like, oh, you're going to take your cowboy boots off? I'm going to show you now. So he takes his socks off, and then
eat
your meal right in your kitchen. He's just like,
yeah.
That's what I thought this is going. You know, like, how far can he push this? Grabs the inside of your thigh just to mess you up.
Yeah, I know. What a weird experience.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe the whole thing was. You should have tried to phone Eric and see if you can get the number.
That's what Gregor said. Yeah, I was just disturbed. Yeah. I just needed to get off the plane as far as possible.
Oh, my gosh. That's
and amazing. Then when we first...
Speaking of Gregor,
yeah,
I got to tell you this quick little story.
Of course. It's what you're here for.
So I'm at the Leafs Oilers game on Saturday.
Yeah.
My good buddies Andrew Yusnik, Mark Galinsky were in town, went to the game. I'm walking down in the main foyer there, main concourse. And I look over, and there's Gregor walking with obviously his wife and kid, all with Leafs jerseys on.
Okay,
I'm like, well, I didn't click in at first, right? So he's walking. Gregor. Yeah, you're seeing Gregor to Oilers. You know, talk about the Oilers all day. He's an Edmonton guy, and I'm like, Gregor. I just go over to give it to him. Like, what is going on here? Like a closet Leaf fan or like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think I have him red handed and then I just click. Yeah. Then it clicks. Oh, Noah.
Still though. Like, I don't know. It's so ballsy. I don't care if it's your dad, man. I don't know to go around there. Yeah. I mean that in Edmonton with a Leafs jersey on. I don't know. It's me.
True. At least it was Toronto. But his son had the jersey on too. And I said, hey, this is only a one-time thing, right? Like, we're not wearing it.
That's why I'm so upset I can't come out there at the end of April because I wanted to see you guys. I'll figure it out. Now, speaking of that, where should we go? Let's say for our next trip, it could be with the kids.
I want to go to Austin.
Austin, Texas. Well, that might be just me and you then. I don't know about. Do you think the kids would enjoy that?
Well, yeah, to do a kids trip. No, that's just
doesn't have to be. I was like, just every few months we haven't had. Well, I guess we had the NHL All-Star Game. That was fun. That was your home territory, though. But still, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, we had a good time. Oh yeah, that was good. Yeah, that's a good story. I was kind of like, because I had my kids and a little bit, chasing there. But it was fun watching you and Senior. It was fun taking care of Senior. I felt like I was kind of like his handler for the weekend.
Yeah, I know. Really, at some point, it's wild because like when we go to those, he only drinks on Fridays unless we're on a thing like that. So Mom will – I still had to call and ask her though because she gets upset. I was like, come on, man. He's up. But I'm surprised, man. He can do it. He can still – I don't fucking know how he does it. But like he'll drink to – do whatever – come out with us. And like he said to me on Saturday, I'm starting to get tired. It was like 3:30 in the morning. I'm like, Jesus, I figured you'd be tired like 5 hours ago. Like, okay. So we went back and then sure enough, up for breakfast, just give me a Caesar or something. Right back in the game.
Yeah. Right back in the, I would be with him, and I'd look at him and he would stay the whole night. But when I said, okay, we want to go home, I'm tapping out. He was fired up. He goes, oh, yeah, let's go. But he's not going down. Like, he is not.
Just wild. I mean, I'm glad because I at least have half those genetics. I don't mean just from the drinking, but I mean, if you can do that, it's not like he's active all the time, but he's there's a bit of OCD involved. Like, if he walks 4.5 miles a day. Don't ask me why 4.5. But he has to do it. If he misses it, everything's thrown off. It's just he becomes like the most irritable. He's got to get back on track. And then, the odd trip. And he told me the last time we were there and we were having a few beers Friday a few weeks ago. And he's like, I said, so where do you want to go next on a trip or whatever? Like, I'll take you. I promised you that. And he loves traveling. You can still enjoy it. And he's like, just like Brian Wilson had too many options and it drove him nuts for a while with the music. He goes, I don't want to know. I just do my thing. You pick. Just because otherwise I'll just look at the history of each place and why I should go to Austin versus Egypt versus Sydney, Australia. And he's just like, I can't have all those. And I kind of get it. He likes staying in his lane because his mind works so quick that he doesn't want to have to worry about even things that might make him happy.
I can see that for sure. Absolutely. Yeah. He had an amazing weekend. Like he was like, it's so fun hanging out with him because it's honestly like in some ways, like this childlike sort of like he's like seeing everything for the first time. Right. It's like, everything is awesome. Especially, and it's like, and I'm like, yeah, it actually is pretty awesome.
Especially like, seeing. Yeah, I know. And especially seeing him around a bunch of people that are just meeting him for the first time that know who he is.
When you guys, we went to the Spit and Chicklets thing, right? You guys, you guys went to the front and I took Senior to the back. It was so hilarious to watch. I'm like a celebrity. Like I'm walking this guy and everybody's Senior. And every guy was 20 to 28. And like, all dudes.
I know.
Girlfriends in the crowd. And it was like this demographic. And they all know Senior. And it's like we sit down in the chairs and he's like, you could just look at his face. He's like, what is going on? Because he's not on social media. He doesn't have any idea what's going on. I said, like, Senior, like, you're kind of a big deal. I can tell.
Yeah, he's not on social media. He doesn't know it. Then went to high five a guy and he nearly knocked the waitress her drinks all over the place. He's unaware. He's like a bull in a china shop and everybody wants a piece of the bull and he has no idea. And he wants to talk to each and every person. And the waitress, remember the waitress come over the plate, literally packed, like take you, you got to make a decision and invest the decision to go to the other side of the bar. It's like shoulder to shoulder packed. And the girl is trying to give us, she's got like 6 Budweisers and 6 shots of Jameson or something. And she's trying to serve us. And he's going, hello, ma'am, where are you from? I'm going, She doesn't. Oh yeah, really? Hamilton. I used to play there in the 70s. Oh yeah, Hamilton Red Wings. Yeah, Jimmy Schoenfeld. Let's see. We had Jimmy Schoenfeld, Mikey Visor. I'm going, Dad. Yeah. I'm not exaggerating, am I? I'm not exaggerating. Right.
Yeah. I'm telling you, that's a charm. That's a charm of senior and yourself. But senior, just what you see is what you get. Like when he's, whenever you see a clip of him or hear him talk or whatever, like he's no different in person. He's no different in whatever situation he's in. He is who he is.
Sam, man, I might have to leave after this. Time goes so fast, and I've done most of the talking, but I got to get pen and ink from soccer. But if you could have this, say you go back, you're 17 years old, and you and your agent are trying to decide. You're 19, so you've been drafted now. You're about to go in and get serious in the minors. And you step on a magic genie bottle, and a genie comes out and says, okay, no one's going to know, but we're going to give you Austin Matthews' shot, Connor McDavid's speed, Ryan Reeves' toughness, or Mitch Marner's hockey IQ. Which one do you take?
I like the hockey IQ. I like that.
Because you know what? McDavid's speed, I don't think, would have added much to your game. It just would have been wasted speed. What are you going to do? Like, are you just going to turn into Paul Coffey? Or, you know, because where you played, your natural was a D. That, I mean, it would help you, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
It would help you.
It'd be fun to fly around like that, I think. Yeah. For sure.
But like a guy like Donald McLean could probably use it a little bit more, that could score like that, that needed to be a bit faster. And then Reeves' toughness. I mean, you're tough anyway, and even in the best of times, it could only take you so far. Matthews has an unreal shot, but again, it's more snap than anything is what he goes with. And are you even going to, being a D that, you know, even if you're on the power play, are you really going to, like, Surrey had a great shot, but is that snapper going to help him much? Not really. Meaning that, you know, you take slappers or low wristers from the point. And then, like you said, I think the hockey IQ, only because I was trying to think of that too, and you could never go wrong. Hockey IQ just makes you better in, like, more than one category immediately.
Yeah, if you're like a Scott Niedermayer kind of type guy where you just see the ice and you make these plays.
Man.
And just like, or Lindstrom or something like that.
Yeah, weren't those guys, God, they were just crazy to watch. Watching a forward with patience is one thing, because if you lose the puck, whatever, okay, I turned it over. It might show up on analytics, but it's probably not in the back of our net. But those guys that are like the last D-back that are so smooth, that, and you're just going, Jesus, you're going to fucking – you're way too close to that guy. But they just always see – you know what I mean? Like,
it's unreal to have the patience when you got pressure on you is like – as a D-man is
really crazy patience that it almost looks like a painter with a brush. For two of those guys, I mean, not even every offensive guy was like that. Like Surrey, I love Sheldon, but Sheldon wasn't graceful like that. He had 28 goals one year, but you didn't see Sheldon and think Picasso as an artist.
No.
Right? But those guys, holy fuck.
Like, I think a guy like Pronger too, like Pronger was always amazed me about how it looked like he wasn't doing anything. You know, like he was – holding on to the puck and like, you know, you envision yourself. If I was doing the same thing, I'd have someone, I got three guys on me, you know, taking the puck away from me. Like, he just knew how to like subtle fakes and things like that.
Yeah.
He didn't know what he was doing, and he just bought space and time. And well,
space and time.
Scared of him too. He cross checked guys. So
that's true. That's the one little nugget that he had. That little extra attribute is that we're going to do this. Now I can do all those things. I'll also spear your eye out if you go next to the goalie. That's right.
Yeah.
That's something I have in my toolbox, Terry. I will cross-check you in the orbital bone if you lay a finger on the pad of that goalie. Right? Now guys are going in and digging. Do you see last night, like the Pittsburgh game? Bunting is there. The puck's there. He's digging at the goal. Yeah. I can't imagine the third spear of the goal, let alone the first time I even accidentally, my skate nudged Brodeur's, you know, imagine Scott Stevens or one of those guys. Oh my God. Holy shit. Yeah. I was a power forward, so to speak, at least a hardworking forward that really went to the net and was like successful in front of the net for what I was good at that. And I'm telling you right now, unless it's like Mike Crowley and John Slaney, I'm not going in and digging at the goalie. Digging. digging and digging and digging. I just, it happens now all the time. I'm like, shit, that would be a slap in the face to Chris Pronger. He would take, even if the puck is there, right?
Yeah. 100%.
Crazy.
Oh, you could give a good cross check and not get a penalty back then too.
Totally. Like, it's like, justified. You go anywhere near the goalie and the whistle goes, I get one that I can just lay into you. And guys like Pronger knew exactly where the kidneys were, right?
Yep.
Oh man.
100%.
Okay, good talk. I'm gonna take off. We've been on for 41 minutes, enough to please the sponsors, and have a great weekend. It's early. I'm dropping the puck at the Herder game tonight, which signifies I'll never play senior hockey again, but me and senior are going to the game. Yeah, it's good. The Herd finals, the St. John's Caps versus Deer Lake Red Wings. Darren Langdon and the Deer Lake Red Wings, he's coaching.
Very nice. Wow.
Yeah.
Throwback.
Throwback. So, Sam, man, I guess we'll talk. We've got to, I'll tell you this. Next week, I'm in Halifax. But I have to go to Binghamton on the 5th. So rather than fly, I'm going to come into Toronto on the 5th. They're renting me a car. I don't know if you want to grab lunch or something. I'm going to go to Binghamton for a couple days. Within a couple weeks after that, I got to go and do some, I'll give you the date, some promo for Shores. I got to go to Sarnia to do another speech. That Growlers game is a gift that keeps on giving, by the way. I've got a lot of these appearances.
That's amazing. Yeah, we never talked about that. That's amazing.
Well, we'll talk about it next time, but I'll tell you in person a lot of the stuff. People here are probably sick of hearing it. But by the way, that was the first thing Bedard said. I didn't even know it was on his radar. He came out of the room and he came right over. He goes, "Oh, that was wicked, man. Way to go. We were watching. We were following along." I went, "What?" And then they came. Yeah. No, you don't think that's on their radar, right?
Yeah.
Canada.
Yeah, that's amazing.
But anyway, yeah, so I'm going to be there. I got to do a Shorzy promo. I get to pick my dates, but it's going to be sometime in April. I'll let you know. Let's do it while you're there. I got to do like 4 or 5 days. It's going to be a little bit of fun, like Jay on, right, to NHL Sirius XM. They asked somebody to do it, and I said, why not? Let it be me. Perfect. So I can spend some time in Toronto.
Perfect. Mm. Well, as you know, I'm traveling too, but if I'm in town, you know that we're going to be hanging out.
Sounds good, Sam, man. We'll talk soon. Hang in there. Love you, buddy.
Love you too, man. Take care, brother. We'll catch you hopefully in Toronto soon.
Sounds good. Okay, folks, that was Trans Sam with my old buddy. If you like that, he's been on the show 4 or 5 times. Other than that, just check it out wherever you get your podcasts. And who we got next week? Next week, we have Brad Lukowich coming back on the program and possibly Brent Sopel. Thanks for tuning in. If you're downtown St. John's, you want to have a beer, you just want to have a good time, you want to check out the scenery, I would start at Trinity Pub, then maybe go to TJ's Pub, maybe the Martini Bar, Rob Roy Confusion. I would also check out, of course, Greensleeves Pub and the Bull and Barrel if I was going to go for a bite to eat. Blue on Water, Merchant Tavern, and, of course, Loose Tie, which is just above Greensleeves and closely affiliated. Loose Tie is the best up-and-coming restaurant in St. John's. They've changed things around, and it looks and tastes and feels good. If you want to improve your life, go to Power Conditioning on Ropewalk Lane. Strength and balance for the body and mind. If you want to go to Mr. Lube, there's 2 locations in St. John's, Newfoundland. One's on Torbay Road, one's on Chemmount Road. Go see Chris Sparks. Live, laugh, lube! Pitbull Pain Relief, the pain sticks that just don't quit. Go to pitbullpainrelief.com and see what all the fuss is about. And, of course, True Hockey, take what's yours. Folks, be back in just a couple of days with more Tales with Tears.